Welcome back, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
This is Tiara.
At the time that this recording probably gets posted, it will be past election time. But Tiara and I wanted to discuss some stuff that's happening in the world.
Okay. Election, I just realized that that's coming up as quickly as it is. Like, I didn't even fathom that the elections were going to be happening, what, in a week?
No, I think in 11 days, November 5th or 6th, right? So that's 11 or 12 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah, I'm so dramatic. I admit to this. I am very dramatic and I exaggerate, but it's to me, it's funny, but it's also expressive and it's like how I express myself. So, you know, I'm over here in the US. I've been here for a couple months since leaving Colombia, and I can't help feeling like I'm fighting for my life every day. And I know I'm not the only one who feels that way. Just like everything's so, so expensive. And even 6 months ago, everything's more expensive. I think it's been more than 6 months since I left and returned. But like, yeah, everything is so expensive. And I am trying so, so, so hard. So, so hard to like avoid the food additives. And like, I have a gluten sensitivity and I can't have dairy. And I try to stay away from like processed foods. And it's just, it's everywhere. And like my food options are so limited and I have to be really creative with like how I eat and how I prep my food. And for some of you guys that are on those more specific food diets, like you have food sensitivities or you're trying to eat healthy, or maybe you're even doing like keto or paleo, you can probably relate to how hard it is to maintain that diet and try to like stick to it, because like everywhere you turn, there's like donuts and McDonald's and Taco Bell and fast food, and it's just in your face. And if you want the clean stuff, you literally have to go out of your way to find it. And it's just a lot to have to manage here, because when I was in Colombia, it was so easy to get the clean food. I just go to the market and then come back home and make what I wanted to make. But even now, most of like the big chain grocery stores, like the Raley's or your Albertsons or like Kroger's, they don't really carry like the organic stuff. Like you have to go to like a Sprouts or a Whole Foods or even like the farmers markets, which I love, to really get like the clean, whole organic stuff. And it's just like a process. Like I feel like I'm like, I'm going to exaggerate a little bit here, but this is what it feels like, is like I'm literally like dodging food additives and salt and like bullets, and like just, it's just the energy is so heavy. And I'm in California where there's also fires and earthquakes happening, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm fighting to survive right now. It's just, it's crazy what's going on in the US right now. And I know a lot of you guys over there feel it. I know a lot of you guys like see a lot of this crazy energy and tension, especially as we come up to the election, which I have my sentiments about our politics right now. I'm not going to get into that. But like, it's just, man, it's a lot. It's a lot to navigate. And I can't wait to leave. I really am looking forward to going back to South America. I've even opened up to the idea of maybe like Panama or Costa Rica, just anywhere that's just not here.
Okay, well, as a food snob, I'm gonna tell you right now, the food in Costa Rica is not that good.
What do you mean? Why is it not good?
It's just their cuisine is just not that good.
It's just like the quality isn't there.
Well, it's quality, but it's also the cuisine itself. It's just not up to a foodie standards. And having been to Costa Rica, you trust my palate, and I can tell you, it's not a foodie place. It's beautiful.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm noticing that I prefer these days to cook my own food. Like, I mean, I've gone to like my favorite restaurants and my favorite sushi spots and so forth, but like, outside of those places, like, I've gone to some spots and I'm just like, the food here is not up to my standards. And I'm a food snob too. Like, my whole family is all about food quality. We have chefs. My dad, like, loves to cook and he's perfected these recipes, and we have our standards to the point where I've actually gone to places and sent the food back because I was like, this is gross. And, you know, again, is that appropriate? Probably not, but I have my standards. People know of those standards and I'm going to adhere to them. So Costa Rica might not be the place for me.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Shit. Okay. Well, I also considered Panama. The only thing I don't like about Panama is they use the US dollar.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, the US dollar, I don't trust it. It's inflated. And I don't like the US monetary policy. I don't know how I feel about that. But, you know, keeping my options kind of open, at least trying to.
As you should. Anyone who is able to get out of the United States should be getting out of the United States.
Right. And I think all of us, like, collectively know this at some level. We're just either tired or busy or too distracted to, like, act upon it. But
or
most,
can't afford,
like,
it.
Or can't afford
out,
it.
Or can't figure out how to move somewhere because getting a visa is hard.
It is hard. And getting a passport for a little bit was also hard. Like, it took me 6 months.
And
to
I
get
also
mine.
Told her to do this 10 years ago.
So. That's true. And I did not. But I did eventually. And it was, like, right at the peak of, like, the COVID backup. Like, they had backup of people who wanted passports and they couldn't do it. And so it just, like, took a long time. But I finally did do it. And these days, I think it's back to, like, what it was. I think you can get one in, like, 30 days. But when I went and did mine, it took me, like, 6 months. So all that stuff is a process. So I get how hard it can be to try to make that transition. And not everyone has the privilege of doing that. But I do think that many people in the back of their minds are just kind of like, I don't know if I want to stay here anymore. And it's understandable.
There's plenty of people who think that. I see people already planning their exit pending on who gets elected. And no, I do not want to turn this into a political discussion, but I have seen people on social media say, if one of them gets elected, I'm out.
No, and, you know, I've seen a lot of that too. Like, our candidates, oh God.
I told
I
you I didn't
know.
Want to have this discussion.
I know. I just want to say, and I think a lot of people feel this way too, that our candidates, I think that it's a choice between a piece of crap and a turd sandwich. That's all I'm going to say. I just don't think the options are very great when it comes
the
to
the options
our
haven't
candidate.
Been great.
Right.
They haven't been great for years and years and years now, which is why many people have become apolitical, like myself.
Same. And I have too, you know, especially these days, like, and I even see, like, the local election stuff where it's like, vote no on measure B, D, F. And I'm just like, I can't be bothered. Like, I don't want anything to do with anything political. I'm not going to vote. I hate to be that kind of person, but I just am not feeling it right now when it comes to politics. And so I'm opting out.
So transitioning from the U.S. and politics, TR and I are going to talk about ourselves today, actually.
Right.
We decided, we've had this podcast for almost a year and a half, and although through, how many episodes do we have now, TR? Like 55? I think we have 55 episodes, you guys. And through 55 episodes, like, you've heard tidbits of our spiritual journeys and our stories and our struggles and our discoveries and our frustrations, but we've never had one cohesive episode to actually talk about our stories in a more organized and chronological order.
So, full disclosure, like, when we started this podcast, we actually did record, like, a intro episode talking about ourselves a little bit. and what the podcast was about. But, you know, when you start a podcast, you kind of experiment with like the audio and the recording equipment and quality. And it was just, the quality was not good at all, to the point where we were like, no, we got to scrap this. And we always, on my end. And we always thought in the back of our minds, like, man, we still need to do some type of intro episode or at least talk about ourselves a little bit. And so we're now getting to that place. So I think it's great because we're in a spot where we're seeing a lot of increase in listenership, which we love, love, love. So thank you guys so much. So we're kind of primed to, you know, share a little bit more about our journeys and, you know, why we're here and what it means. And I do want to share a little bit about the dark night of the soul experience, because I see a lot of people in that right now. And I know what that's like too. Like, I'm kind of in a similar state. So I do want to share a little bit about that.
And also, with our community opened and up and running, and as we're really starting to push the podcast and the community, this is a great opportunity for any of our listeners or people who come across our content to get to know us.
Yes, definitely.
So I guess I'll go first.
Go for it.
My spiritual journey is interesting because I didn't really stumble into spiritual journey or the spiritual awakening, and I didn't really have this profound moment like so many people have. And I believe part of the reason why I didn't really have any of that is because of my upbringing. I grew up in a very spiritual and holistic household. My mother was a very spiritual woman who studied Buddhism, and she was in Taoism, and my mother really was a hardcore meditator, and she studied the universal laws, and she had tarot cards and oracle decks, and she had a altar with a bunch of crystals and Buddhas, and my mother just, she had a lot of faith in the spiritual sense. And growing up in that environment and having freedom, because my parents decided that they were not going to push their kids into a certain form of religion. That was not something that they wanted to do because it was pushed on them and they absolutely hated it. So when they had children, they decided, like, you know, we're going to let our children decide. We didn't go to church every Sunday. We never really learned about God or the Bible, but we did have conversations about being able to be free and being able to have to form our own thoughts and opinions and form our own independence. And I gotta tell you, because I had such an unconventional upbringing compared to so many people who grew up in a faith-based home and went to church every Sunday and had strict rules and, you know, had rigorous schedules, and, you know, it's just the environment in which you grow up matters. And so I grew up really being able to form my own opinions, and, you know, my parents taught me to be independent, and I wanted independence. I wanted to push those boundaries, and I wanted to get out of my house as soon as possible. And I graduated high school early, and I was off to college at age 16, and I was really living on my own. And I, you know, my aunts would always describe me as like this person who always knew what she wanted and wasn't afraid to go get it. And I was just a go-getter. And so I would say that because I had those teaching and upbringings, I had a very, I don't know, I guess you could say advantage when it comes to the spiritual journey.
And I just want to add in there how much of an advantage that really is, because so many people do not get that same freedom and like the same type of open-minded teachings that you got. And so even comparing to my childhood, like there are so many things that you learned from your upbringing and from your parents that I was just like, man, I would have really have wanted to have been taught that and learned that too. So in that regard, yeah, I just like, I admire that your parents were, that gave you that and created that open space for you, because that is huge.
It is. And I've noticed that because of my upbringing, like I'm more seasoned in spirituality. I'm not saying that I know more, because everyone's spiritual journey is very personal to them. But because I was able to have that freedom, and because my parents always encouraged us to see the world and encouraged us really not to be a part of the matrix and try to build something for ourselves. And they, you know, it's like they inadvertently knew, like, you want to be your own, you want to build your own business, you want to be your own boss, you want to try to build something for yourself instead of entering into this matrix and being a slave to corporate America.
Exactly. And again, a lot of kids are not being taught that in their upbringing. They're being taught the opposite. They're being taught, hey, if you want to succeed in life, you need to go to college and get that degree and put yourself in debt and go get that job. And that's how you succeed. And you get a job where you can get a pension and then you can retire happily and peacefully on, live off your pension for the rest of your life.
And ironically enough, I actually did follow that path, because I was just like, I want to experience a college experience. I mean, if I have to go into debt, I'll go into debt, which I did. And luckily for me, though, I was able to pay off that debt very quickly.
Yeah.
Because my parents also taught me financial responsibility. And I learned that from the age of 8.
Right. Which, again, who's teaching their kids that these? I mean, it's so rare.
Yeah. So now that you guys kind of have a glimpse into my background a little bit, I think that might explain why I am the way I am, or at least give you a better idea as to why I am the way that I am. But another thing about me that a lot of people don't know is how highly intuitive I really am.
Yes.
And I think a big part of that is because of how much time I actually spent by myself throughout my childhood. And because it was really me and my own thoughts, I learned something called metacognition. And for those of you who don't know what metacognition is, it is a person's awareness that a person can bring into one's thoughts and processes. And it's actually such a valuable tool to be able to understand and connect the dots of your thought processes and behavior. And it has been so beneficial to my life. And it took me I probably really started to form it in my later teens, early 20s, and also when I was a kid. So I had the thought processes when I was a kid, but then adolescence happened, and I kind of, you know, when adolescence happens, our hormones are raging and, you know, our bodies are changing and we're trying to figure out this crazy thing called life and navigating life as a teenager. And we kind of go through this period where we lose ourselves. And it wasn't until like my later teens, early 20s, when I could get back into my body and back into those thought processes of those things that I learned when I was a kid. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Having this skill has been so beneficial to my life, because I was able to analyze the things that was going on around me and analyze my behavior, which is a very important skill that you will need in shadow work. And I think a lot of people, the reason why people struggle with shadow work so much is because they don't understand They don't understand how their own brain works. They don't understand where those thoughts come from. They don't understand why they did the things that they did. And those are all things that you are going to need in the spiritual journey when you start doing shadow work. So in many, many ways, I've just had so many advantages when it comes to the spiritual journey.
You know, also a huge, huge advantage is being able to have that level of awareness, that self-awareness, because, you know, my upbringing was the complete opposite. Like, we didn't have that level of self-awareness. I didn't have that level of self-awareness. And so I think for people like me, it seems like it's a little bit more difficult, especially when you're trying to do the shadow work, because there's so many blind spots and there are so many things that you don't see about yourself and even about others that you interact with on a daily basis. And so the challenge then becomes not just doing the shadow work, but finding a way to build the awareness around it. And man, that is a process.
It is. It's a very big process. And I didn't really realize. And for me, it's kind of hard to talk about my journey because I've been going through my journey since I've been a child. So it's been a very different experience versus people who are just now awakening or people who have awakened just a few years ago. And because of my circumstances and upbringing, it's like I've had multiple awakenings since I was a child, which, like I said earlier, it makes me more seasoned and it kind of may or may not have given me that advantage.
So my upbringing was quite different, but you know, when I think back on my own childhood, I do think that I had a very happy childhood for the most part, you know, especially in comparison to my peers who often were in households that were very abusive or their parents weren't together or, you know, perhaps they grew up in a fatherless household, which was very common because, you know, I'm African American and in the African American community, fatherless homes are very, very common. I think the statistic is like 70% of African American children will come up without a father. So, you know, we had both our parents and we had our father there and our mother there. And so I always felt very grateful just for that because that was so rare for an African American family. With that said, you know, my parents, they worked very, very hard and they were often gone. And it was me and my two sisters. And I'm the eldest. So, you know, coming up, it was like, my sisters are about 4 and 5 years younger than me. So we kind of did our own things in many ways. Like I did my own thing. And then my two sisters, because they were so close in age, they kind of did their thing together. And sometimes they didn't. And, you know, they fought a lot because, again, they were so close in age. And I was always like, well, I don't want anything to do with that drama. So I always kind of did my own thing. But because my parents worked so hard and they were so busy, we didn't really get a ton of attention, particularly when it came to things like the nurturing and like wanting to have my parents at, for example, my basketball games and that kind of thing. So we kind of had to find ways to stand on our own. And that in and of itself created some different types of wounding. But ultimately, I do look back at my childhood with fondness. I came up for the most part Christian. So, you know, my parents weren't necessarily hardcore Christians, but we did go to church and I had an aunt who was a big part of that because she was often the one who took us to church and wanted us to have those religious teachings. So we did go to church for a couple of years. And I don't know that I would ever say that I was like a Christian. It was more just like, oh, we're going to church. Let's do this, I guess. I don't really have much of a choice or a decision because I'm a kid. So with that said, I did develop a respect for religion and eventually did end up building my own relationship with God. But I didn't really have like that same spiritual upbringing. I didn't really have my parents there to teach me some of the things that around things like, you know, hey, you don't need to go to college and get an education to succeed in life. Or, you know, hey, if you want to be financially successful, look into investments or look into, you know, these type of financial strategies in order to set yourself up for the future. Like, we didn't have those type of teachings. So it was always just like, we need to figure it out or know someone else who might have that wisdom or knowledge, because, you know, it wasn't coming from our household. I actually didn't really get into spirituality or experience anything like that until I connected with my twin soul in 2011. And for those of you guys who know what interacting with your counterpart the first time is like, it is a whirlwind. Like, it is a mental and emotional and spiritual whirlwind. And so many things come to the surface and you feel these new feelings and emotions that you've never experienced before. And if you're like me, and I did a lot of emotional repression as a coping technique coming up, you feel these things, but you don't really know what to do about it. And then the other half of you doesn't care. So we had this brief experience and encounter, but at the end of the day, it didn't amount to anything because I ran from it and withdrew from it. But spirit has this thing where if you have this type of connection to someone, that connection never goes away. And so for the 8 years that he and I didn't talk, I just dreamt about him all the freaking time. Like, all the time. Like, there was a point where I was dreaming about him every night for months. Like, it's just, he was either present energetically, or I felt him in my dreams, or I saw him in my dreams. And it wasn't until like 2018 or so where I was just like, what is this? Like, what? Why am I dreaming about this man so much? And it was from there that I actually had my awakening and went on my journey.
So for those of you who don't know what an awakening is pretty much a shift where something feels different, it seems different. You start to think like, this isn't real. It's a shock to your nervous system. And I know for Tiara, she has talked about her spiritual awakening, and I know she has mentioned like the day that she had it, it was like she woke up one morning and she was just like, this isn't real.
Yes. No, it was literally like that. Like, I remember the exact day because it happened one day after me and my twin soul reconnected online. And I didn't realize this, but apparently with these type of connections, every time you interact, whether it's in person or online, it's like you're energetically touching, and that has effects. So I like to say that my awakening was triggered by my twin soul connection and that reconnection. And it's so hard for me to explain what my awakening was like, because for many people, it's like a slow, gradual process, or it's triggered by a profound event that happens in their life, or even a tragedy that happens. But no, for me, it was just like we reconnected. And then the next day I was like, holy shit, we live in a matrix. What is this reality? What am I doing? What's happening? Oh my God. And it's I don't quite fully know how to put it into words, but that's essentially what it felt like. It was just like one day I was living my life blissfully ignorant of anything spiritual or divine connections, and the next day everything changed and I was like, oh, I need to look more at this. Interesting thing about that is that I intuitively knew that I was having a spiritual awakening. It was just something I intuitively knew, and that sort of sent me on the direction of like seeking deeper and trying to explore what it means. And I think I Googled like twin souls online, which is like the worst thing to do, but I did. But what I found online made sense when it came to me trying to figure out what this connection was, because that was the initial seeking when I awakened. It was like trying to figure out what the fuck this connection was, because I was like, this can't be an actual real thing. But I found a lot of information about it online. A lot of it did resonate. Some of it didn't, but a lot of it did. And it helped me make sense of it, which was actually really helpful.
That's what I was saying for me personally. I can't pinpoint like my profound spiritual awakening the way that a lot of people can. And I just think that is due to my upbringing. But I will say, because I made the conscious choice to enter the matrix and put myself in debt and, you know, go work for a corporate bank, the one common denominator that I always had, even since childhood, was I wanted to go travel and I wanted to go see the world. I don't know why. I just had always, I guess I'm a dreamer, and I always imagined, or I didn't want to imagine things anymore. I wanted to go experience things. And for me, that was traveling and going into different countries and seeing how other people lived and trying their food and learn about their culture, because I just was so over America at that point when I really wanted to start traveling. And I will say, moving out to San Francisco at the time when San Francisco was at like its peak and San Francisco was like the it place to be and everyone was moving there, and I lived in San Francisco actually during a very peak growing, like, fun time to be in SF. And what I learned is that San Francisco is a very transitory city. And so you have people, it's like a melting pot, and you just have people from all over the world coming in. And the more that I met these people, I was just like, oh, I want to go visit your country. I want to go see your country. I want to go learn more. So once I saved up the money, or I manifested the money, however the universe knew I wanted to do this, and the universe responded and provided, and I was able to at first take a year off. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go take the year off and I'm going to go explore the world. It's actually really funny, because people who know me and people who have done long-term traveling, they all warned me. They said, do not travel longer than 6 months to a year. And I was like, why? And they were like, traveling is honestly an addiction. It's like an addictive drug. It's like that high. It's like going into the new countries and you're experiencing everything and you're meeting all these people. And I was just like, I don't really have an addictive personality. I'm going to be fine. How wrong was I? I was so wrong. That 1 year of travel turned into 9 years. That is how I definitely caught the travel bug. And fortunately for me, I was really able to kind of reinvent myself over the past 9 years, where I was able to uphold this lifestyle. But it's exactly what I wanted to do. It's exactly what I needed to do. And it's really what propelled me into this next phase in my life, which is really more of this profound spiritual awakening, I guess you could say, for me, because that's when my spiritual gifts came in. And with my spiritual gifts and learning things like tarot and oracle cards, like, I always knew what those things were because they were in my household and my mother had them, but I didn't practice any of those things. So like, I started with a tarot deck and I got my first tarot deck, and Tiara and I actually got it together, and Tiara was already like more skilled at tarot than I was, and so she kind of helped guide me and teach me through it. But I was a natural at it, and I was a natural at it, in my personal opinion, because I have a very intuitive and high intuition.
Oh, yeah. I remember that going and getting your first deck, which at that point, I think I had been doing tarot. I hadn't been doing it that long. I think I'd been doing it for like a couple months to a year, maybe. And how I got into tarot is, I don't know. Like, I just, this happens to me. I don't know why this happens to me. I just woke up one day and I was like, I need to go get a tarot deck. And so that's what I went and did. And I absolutely loved tarot, and it was kind of similar. Like, it felt very natural, and it was so fun, and I loved exploring the decks, and they all kind of have their own personalities and energy. And at that time, I was also looking at a lot of the YouTube readings online, and I was like, I can do this. So yeah, I think at that point I had been doing it for close to a year, and then I kind of brought you into the whole tarot world. And you picked it up really quickly. So it was like really easy for us to do readings together, I remember.
It was, and it was actually really fun. And I was just like, what is this like madness? What is all of this? Like, how does this information, how do we instinctively know? Where does all this information come from?
I know. And it was really fun because, okay, so I don't advise this or recommend this, but it's fun to do looking up the energy of other people, like perhaps an ex or...
Yeah, we don't advise you do that.
Crush or, you know, like I said, I don't advise that, but it's fun.
I mean, it certainly is fun, but there are debates in the new age spiritual communities on whether or not you really should be checking in on other people's energies without their permission.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, if it's someone you have a connection, a spiritual connection to, I feel like that should be free game.
I mean, I see both perspectives. I really do.
Okay. That's
and fair. I don't think that, you know, I think it comes down to the person's moral and ethic standards. I think that comes down to the individual.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's fair. It's just like, you know, I have had a ton of fun doing that. And I don't know that I'm going to stop doing that. So
No, I mean, listen, Tiara and I have done this before. We're both guilty of it, but we also do it because sometimes we need information to figure out if that person, like, why they are part of our lives, why do they come into our lives. And I think I do agree with Tiara on some level that if we're trying to extract information that actually pertains to us and our individual journeys, and if that person is relevant to that journey, well, there's no other way we are going to know unless we divinate on them.
Yeah, especially in this world where, everyone does this, where we act one way, but the energies say something completely different.
Completely.
And we oftentimes can sense that. Like, and I don't know, for me, I can sense that. Where I'm just like, all right, your behavior is saying this, but this energy I'm getting from you is saying something else. Tarot, tell me what this is. And I personally love, I'm glad that I have access to tarot for that because it keeps me from going insane.
So for our listeners who, I'm sure tarot is actually probably one of the most common divination tools. And if you are even curious about spirituality, then everyone's probably heard of tarot at this point. But there are many other divinations that you can use, like dowsing with a pendulum or dowsing rods. That is picking up in popularity. There is also channeling, which there are many people who can channel, but whether or not they're a good channeler is a completely different topic that we're not going to touch upon today. There is also like palm reading, face reading, tea leaves, the coffee grinds reading, and like I think we on Kelsey's episode, she talked about the divination of the shells. Tiara, what's that called?
The cowrie shells?
Yes. So there are so many different types of divination.
You know, I don't know how we got on a divination offshoot, but I'm glad we're here because the different types of divination that exist blows my mind. Like the cowrie shells thing, like I was like, what? How do you extract that information from that? It's just so fascinating. And even the one that I saw, I watched the YouTube video of a woman who, she was doing a reading, a general reading, and like, you know, it was kind of resonating, so I kept watching. All she did was look at a candle that was dripping wax, and she extracted all of this stuff that was spot on. And I was just like, what? How are people doing this? Like, it's just, there's so much out there when it comes to different forms of divination. Like, you know, yeah, we all know tarot, but you might align with something else that might be just as effective for you as tarot. You never know.
And full disclosure about divination is not 100% accurate, you guys. I don't think that enough people, well, obviously people are trying to sell you a service. And so I don't feel like a lot of people fully disclose that, but I do feel like that is something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, maybe we should do an episode on divination.
Sure.
All right.
But for the purpose of this episode, so kind of going back to our journeys, Tiara and I, yeah, we both kind of just went down the tarot rabbit hole, and then Tiara became a channeler first. Correct?
Yes, I did. And then I was kind of exploring and experimenting with it a little bit, and I had been doing that for some time. And then I think you ended up picking it up when my channeling abilities got shut off. I think that's how you ended up.
I picked it up maybe 5 or 6 weeks before your channeling abilities got shut off. But okay. I was so new to it and I was not very good at it. But I became very good at it very quickly.
Yeah, you did. So yeah, I started off doing some of that, and I would get messages, and I think this was when I started journaling. Around this time is when I started journaling, because I was getting all these things and I was starting to learn a little bit about my soul story, and I was trying to make sense of it, and like I was trying to just learn more. And I think this was also around the time that I went and saw a Akashic Records reader who told me some information about my soul history, and she gave me some information about my twin soul and my marriage and some of the dynamics that were there and some of the karma. And then that sent me like on a rabbit hole, because I was like, oh my God, I want to know more. So I think when it comes to like that seeking and wanting to know more about my soul story and my soul history and like the karma and my lessons, it kind of started there and just sort of progressed and continued. To this day, like, I'm still learning about my karma and my soul history, and I'm still putting the pieces together and trying to make sense of a lot of that. So I honestly don't know that will ever stop.
I'm of the belief that healing never ceases. And I mean, doing soul integration work, some of our souls are thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, I think that's more rare, of years old. And so we've had countless reincarnations. And when we have countless reincarnations, you know, there's always a soul contract and there's always lessons that we need to learn. And if we don't do it right, then unfortunately we create karma. And as a result of creating karma, that just tacks on more lessons that we need to learn, which means more reincarnations. And some might say it's a vicious cycle. I may be of the belief that it's kind of a vicious cycle, because learning lessons is really hard.
Oh my God, it is so hard. Like, my soul history is one big massive example of what that can go like. So that's why my opinions differ just a little slightly, you know, but like, yes, it is very, very hard. And I think I heard, I don't know if this was on TikTok or somewhere, about how it can take hundreds of years, multiple incarnations,
thousands of years.
To learn one lesson. And I was just like, what? That's insane. To me, that's crazy. But, you know, I get that this is a process and everyone learns differently. And if that's what it takes, then, you know, that's what it takes. It's just like, that's so much to me. That's so much. And so long.
It's so long.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's really, really wild. So because Tiara and I were able to channel, we started doing channeling sessions, and the beings that we were able to channel, like, we realized that we served a much higher purpose, like, for ourselves and also for the collective, because not everyone, even if you're a channeler, not everyone gets access to the same entities or beings as everyone else does. I would say the most common beings that a lot of people can channel are the archangels, because the archangels work with literally everyone. But there are beings outside of the archangels that, you know, not everyone gets to work with, or there are certain channelers who work with a very, like, specific group, like a specific council, or specifically their spirit team, but they can't go outside of that. And because Tiara and I were able to go outside of that, that's kind of where this idea of the podcast and the community came into play.
Yes, and that was a big part of it. But another big factor of it was being able to share our experiences when it came to our own journeys. Because, you know, through those experiences, we have acquired things and learned things. And I, at least for me personally, I feel like there's a lot in my journey that other people can really relate to, and that could be helpful for some other people who might be navigating through similar things, especially when it comes to some of the wounding I experienced and brought forth from my childhood. And these are wounds that I know just about everyone probably carries. And so I think when it comes to our community, there's like this sense of camaraderie and connectedness in knowing that there are other people who share a similar experience. So that was also a really big part of bringing forth this podcast and the community, is that, man, I think we are kind of in a place now where we can build a support group of Soul Tribe, but also share some of the things we've learned on this journey to help other people get to where they want to be in life. And ultimately, that's what this podcast and community is about. It's basically just a way to help us all find our path on this crazy journey that we call life, so that you don't, like, make all these repeated mistakes and collect more karma and have to come back here and do it all again.
And also, I just want to touch briefly on this, and this is probably going to be a trigger warning, and I know I've mentioned this before in previous episodes, but spirituality and New Age has become extremely commercialized. And what we mean by extremely commercialized is that these spiritual teachers, we'll call them, they know how to sell. And when you're only focused on selling, then when you're only focused on selling and profiting, you're more focused on this is what they want to hear. This is what sells. And people are falling for it.
Yeah. And the unfortunate thing about it is there are people who know how to sell in this space, but there are also people who aren't quite necessarily skilled and don't necessarily have the wisdom to teach others that are also in this space still doing that. So now you kind of create this cycle where perhaps that service that you're providing is causing harm versus helping in the way that it should be. And the unfortunate thing about it is that people don't really know how to find those skilled and gifted teachers, and the people who are doing those teachings don't necessarily know that it's something that they're not necessarily skilled in. They just feel like they want to help, and that's what they do. And so it's just, there's a lot in this space that has caused a lot of misinformation and confusion, and I think harm some people in many ways. And, you know, I know for me personally, I've paid for services from multiple people that were in this spiritual space, and I question whether I got anything positive out of these services, because it didn't seem to like really help me in the way that I was needing or seeking. Now, some of that is my fault. For example, I went into a QHC experience and was coming down from a high when I shouldn't have been. But some of these other individuals I've paid for, I just go look back and I'm just like, wow, I don't know that I got from that what I needed and wanted at the time. So it gets even more complicated when you start thinking about people who are getting caught in this false ascension energy where they're doing the work, the surface level work, and they're feeling better and they're seeing these little shifts in themselves and they feel like they're ascending, and that's their reality to them, that they are ascending. When in actuality, the work that they're doing isn't really deep enough to get them to the higher states of consciousness. And they don't know that. So it's just, there's so much out there that needs to be looked at. And another big asset when it comes to our community is that we're looking at these things, and we want to be a space where those things don't stop you from getting to where you want to be.
That's why we encourage a lot of people to actually listen to our podcast, because if you really want to get to know us and what we have to offer, it's all here in our podcast. Now, we understand if you're new to this podcast, we have 55 episodes, and that's many hours and a lot of time, but you don't have to listen to our whole catalog. You can, you know, if you look over our episodes and if you are drawn to a certain title and if you read the description and if it's something that resonates with you, then give us a listen, give us a chance. Tiara and I have both had very different journeys. We had very different upbringings. We had very different journeys. And something that I like to point out is that spirituality and healing, you guys, it's not linear. And this is something that I've actually have needed to teach Tiara, because Tiara was just like, well, I found this teacher and it's like love and light and positive affirmations. And if I just change my mindset to this positive thing, then yeah, I'm going to shift. And I'm just like, no, you're not. And a lot of people don't talk about the dark night of the soul. A lot of people don't talk about the shadow work. And unfortunately, you guys, it is needed. Any spiritual teacher that's telling you that you can ascend without doing shadow work is lying to you.
Oh my God. And yes, like, I wish I would have known a lot of this stuff back then. It is only through like working with Allie and, you know, the gods and the archangels that I've even been able to get to this place where I recognize how those false teachings and that false ascension has affected me and my journey. And for whatever reason, I've always felt like, hey, like, I just need to work harder. Maybe I'm not looking at the right thing. Maybe I'll find that one tool or that one solution that'll fix it, that'll fix me, that'll make it better. Like, I got to find it. I got to figure out what it is. I'm not looking hard enough. I'm not doing enough. But I think it wasn't really about that so much as how I was going about it. And that took a lot to get to. It took a lot for me to look at that and see that. And again, it was from working with Allie that really helped me get to that, which is why I say when it comes to this community, everybody needs an alley, and the community is essentially just an alley for everyone. I'm not putting that pressure on alley. I'm just saying that it's that space where you might have access to those things that might help you see the things you did not see. So, you know, I'm quite passionate about this community because I see its potential in helping other people who are kind of stuck and trapped in that negative loop in the way that I was. And, you know, I'm still actually working to get to where I want to be. It's going to be probably a long time for me just because my circumstances are unique. But yeah, at the end of the day, this podcast and this community is a tool to help you navigate through the nonsense. Oh my God, that should be our tagline.
Maybe. I just want to say thank you to Tiara for that recognition. And I don't really feel the pressure because I've done so much work in this space. And I know everyone says that. And I know everyone's like, oh, I've done so much work and I've done so much healing. And now I'm in a place to, you know, offer services. And I will often say, like, to people, especially my clients, you will never know if a person is lying to you or if something doesn't feel right. Like, I can't tell you what to feel. I can't tell you if that person's lying. I can't tell you any of that. That has to come from within you. And that's why I always work with my clients to help them reconnect their mind, body, and spirit, because you have all the answers inside of you. It's like these people who are out there, like, you know, looking and grasping and are eager. And I think that's great if you're eager. But if you don't start listening to yourself, if you don't start listening to your intuition, if you don't start trusting yourself, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who is working with you. You are going to get lost in this journey. You need people that will be honest with you and truthful with you, and people that can help steer you in a direction to help you reconnect to yourself versus someone just kind of throwing all the stuff at you, being just like, well, this is your astrology chart, or this is this, or this is your Akashic record reading, and then this is this, because you don't know if that information is false or accurate. You are only going to know if you feel it inside of you and you're just like, yes, that resonates, or that doesn't sound right. No one else can provide that for you.
That is very true. And I think that a lot of people in the spiritual space forget that sometimes, that when it comes to really figuring out, even when it comes to finding that person you should be working with, that that's really an intuitive process. And I didn't consider that when I was, you know, doing some of that work and looking for a coach or a mentor, that ultimately when it comes to finding someone, it should really be intuitive. Like, it should be really be about, does this person feel right to me? You know, are we energetically aligned? Now, I did that when I found that woman to do my Akashic Records reading because I was energetically drawn to her. And for some reason, I don't know, I didn't employ that with some of these other individuals I've paid for. So, you know, that's my fault. I don't know why.
And this is the types of teachings that we want to bring to the community, because no one else is going to be able to give you answers or fill that void. I mean, anyone can give you answers. I could give you answers all day long. It's just, do they resonate with you? Do they hit you? Does it make sense to you?
Yeah. Does it hit you in the gut? Like, does it feel right?
That's exactly
what we should be asking ourselves.
Exactly. So I hope everyone got something out of this episode, learned a little bit something about us, like why we're doing this podcast and why we're so passionate about this podcast. And even though we have unpopular opinions about what's going on in the spiritual space, and we realize that, you know, there might be an uprising and people might want to try to cancel us, it's worth the fight for us, and we will continue to fight it.
Yeah, we're already fighting with promotions, like, because it's tricky with podcasts sometimes, because you're categorized as spiritual or the spirituality, but some platforms lump that in with religion, and depending on where you are, that's a put off to some of the promoters. And so it's been tricky for us to really find those target people. And so One of the things we want with this episode and the intention behind it is to find you guys and find those people who, A, want to be a part of the community, but have a general interest in working on themselves and becoming better and manifesting the life that they want.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have been getting some reviews in on our podcast, and some of the feedback we've been getting is that people actually love our authenticity and people actually know we are talking about things that other spiritual teachers just aren't talking about.
Oh, I don't see anyone else talking about any of this stuff, like really at all, which is kind of mind-blowing and also a little unsettling. But yeah, I don't see any of this information anywhere else.
So this is why we're here, you guys. So please, if, you know, thank you to all of our listeners, and please come check out our community. Like, Tiara and I are here. We have so much fun stuff planned for you, and we have a lot of like live stuff going on between live channeling sessions where you guys are going to be able to submit your questions. Now, not every question is going to be asked depending on how many questions we get. And really, it's important that it serves everyone, like it serves the collective, but more on that in the community. But also, we are going to have live Q&As where you guys can really ask us anything spiritual. Now, we might not know all of the answers, but we will certainly try to get an answer and get back to you. But we do have a lot of knowledge. And because Tiara and I have such different journeys, like we have so many different perspectives we can bring from the spiritual sense, because I actually have ascended higher than 5D. That's all I'm going to say about that. And so, and Tiara has kind of teetered between dimensions. And so, like, we know what those struggles are like. We know what you guys are going through. And then there's also going to be Tiara and possibly myself will also be doing tarot readings, mostly Tiara. And so, like, yeah, we have so much to offer you guys. And we just want to make it fun, but also a place for you to have a sense of belonging and feeling like you have proper support and guidance. Because Tiara and I, if we didn't have each other, I don't know where we would be in this journey, because there is a lot of fluff out there.
Yeah, I honestly don't know where I would be either. I would probably be somewhere in a forest living in a hut, because it's just would have been too much for me. So I'm so fortunate that I had Allie to that we have each other when it comes to navigating this journey in this space, because, oh my God, it's just been a whirlwind. It has been quite a whirlwind. I also want to add that we have some freebies on our website that I really think you guys are going to love. One of them is a Clairsenses guide, which is a guide for all of the different clairsenses, so like claircognizance, clairvoyance, and it kind of shows you what those clairs are and helps you determine which ones you might have. And we also have this really cool crystals guidebook. It's kind of like to celebrate our very first episode on season one, which was about crystals. If you haven't heard it, please go listen. But it's 26 pages, and it's a full and complete guide about how to make crystals work for you like magic. Anyone can use it, even if you know nothing about crystals, or if you've had crystals and you want to learn about how to make them work better for you, please check out this guide. It is free on our websites, and it's something I really wish I would have had when I started working with crystals, because for me, it's been a lot of trial and error, and I put information into that guide to assist you guys who might want to learn how to make your crystals work for you. So please do check out those two freebies on our website, www.goddessvibrationstudio.com.
Thank you, everyone. And we hope that you guys have a great week. And thank you to our listeners. Please give us a follow. Please give us a review. Those definitely help us. And we hope to see you in the community.
All right. See you guys in the Higher Vibe Tribe.